Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Second hour on this Tuesday. Let's get into some college football. Big weekend with Vandy taking down LSU at home, getting to 6-1. Commodores ranked in the top 10 for the first time since 1947. And they will host Missouri this weekend with College Game Day in town. 2:30 kick, number 10 Commodores, number 15 Tigers. The Vols came up short on the road against Alabama. Pick six from the goal line at the end of the first half is, wasn't the deciding play in the game, but it kind of slipped away from there, and it was tough for them to get back into it. Both these teams have a decent shot to still make the playoffs, though. And let's start with Vanderbilt. What a win for them on Saturday. I mean, that's an LSU team that, say what you will about their offense and the struggles that they've had, they had not allowed more than 24 points in a game heading into that one. Vandy scored 17 in the first half, 31 on the game, and was able to take down LSU. Second top 10 win in as many years for the Commodores. And now, you look at this schedule, that it looked really tough. And there's been some tough games, but Missouri, you're ranked higher than them. I haven't actually looked for the line on this, but I assume Vanderbilt's favored. Texas, I mean, Texas is a talented team. No one is going to deny that, but they clearly have not played up to that talent this year. You're going on the road to Austin. Vandy's not going to be favored in that game, but that is a winnable game against a team that just went to overtime with Kentucky last week. And then you get Auburn and Kentucky, who are both winless in the SEC, at home. You win three of those four games, you head to Neyland Stadium in a win-and-in to go to the playoff.
Yeah, Vandy, for this game Saturday, is favored by 2.5, so a field
goal. Basically the same as the LSU game.
Right, and, you know, good thing for Vandy's schedule. Sure, they got to go on the road to Texas, but minus that, you have Auburn at home, Missouri at home,
Kentucky at home,
and you travel to Neyland.
I mean, basically, the easiest way to put it is, if Vandy takes care of business in their home games and wins one of two on the road, they will be in the bracket.
Yeah.
Like, that is, there is no doubt about it. We can talk about the question, too, of does 9-3 get you in for either UT or Vandy? And I think probably not, because you're going to get a ton of 10-2 teams out of the SEC.
Right.
There's going to be a logjam of 10-2 teams in the SEC.
I don't know. I'm in the camp, if they end up winning all their ranked games and they still go 9-3 somehow, say they were to lose to Auburn, right? And you beat Texas, you beat Missouri,
yeah,
and you beat Tennessee, and you lose. Let's say they lose to Auburn and Kentucky. I know those are bad
and
losses.
And Kentucky.
I'm just saying that's 9-3. I'm just throwing.
Now they'd
out
be 8-4 at that. Or you're saying
Bama, Auburn, Kentucky.
Okay,
three
so
losses.
They beat all the good teams.
Correct.
And lose to the teams that are...
I think it would come down to the committee saying, you know what, this Vandy team actually is good. They beat all their ranked opponents. Sure, they have some bad losses against Kentucky, Auburn, but if those are one-possession games, I think the committee kind of squeaks through, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. Bad losses late in the season tend to knock you out. Like,
that's fair.
The recency bias of the committee, they're going to say it's not there, but I do think wins and losses in November count more than wins and losses in September. Like, if you lose game one, like, look at Notre Dame last year.
Yep.
Notre Dame lost week two to Northern Illinois and then rolled off the rest of their wins, and nobody really cared. They were, what, the sixth seed?
Yes.
Seven seed, maybe?
They were lower in the bracket,
but,
for sure. Yeah.
But still, they were firmly in the playoff, even though they lost to Northern Illinois. With Vanderbilt, I think if they had lost early in the season to South Carolina or something like that, but then rolled off towards the end of the year, maybe 9-3 is good enough. But if you lost to Auburn and Kentucky at home, I don't know. Even with the good wins mixed in there as well.
It is tough. I mean, for Vandy to have Auburn at home is huge, because if you go over to Jordan-Hare, it's a tough place to play. And we saw Georgia struggle against Auburn a few weeks ago. Vandy kind of has lucked out with their schedule having them at home.
And you look at this schedule for a lot of these teams, like, Ole Miss, they play Oklahoma this week. Both those teams are 6-1. One of those teams is going to have two losses. You got Vanderbilt at 6-1. They play Missouri. They're 6-1. One of those teams is going to have two losses. Texas A&M still plays Texas at the end of the year. There's a chance that maybe there's one 11-1 team in the SEC, but then you've got like five or six at 10-2, and not all of those teams are going to get in. I think Vandy's strength of schedule is stronger than a lot of the other teams, so I think 10-2 would be perfectly good enough to get you in. But 9-3, just the way things are playing out, unless the rest of the conferences just implode and like Indiana loses a couple games down the stretch, or Oregon continues. I mean, they blew out Rutgers this week, but Oregon drops another game or two, maybe. But the way I see it, 9-3 this year is not going to be good enough. I'm sure there will be years with the 12-team playoffs that a 9-3 SEC team will get in.
Sure.
But I'm looking at it this year, I'm not so sure.
Say if Vandy ends up going 10-2, say they lose to Missouri this Saturday, okay? And say it's by maybe one possession or whatever, two possessions, whatever it may be. And Missouri and Alabama both are top 10, top 7 teams. Would you put Vandy in the consideration if they went out, if Vandy wins out?
So if they're what, 9-3?
10-2.
Oh, they're 10-2?
Yeah, 10-2.
And their only losses are Alabama, Missouri?
Correct.
Yeah, they're in.
Okay.
They're in handily, I think.
There's
at that
no
point.
Way you're saying the committee is trying to pull all the stops to not have them in?
I think 10-2, if you're 10-2, I don't see a path for Vandy not to get in, because in that scenario, you would have a road win at South Carolina, road win at Virginia Tech, which, again, not saying those teams are world beaters, but those are two strong wins early on in the season.
And you'd have this scenario be a road win at Texas as
right.
Well.
You'd have a road win at Texas, a road win at Tennessee, and a home win against LSU. That's enough with 10 wins to get you in for sure. I think there's no scenario where Vandy goes 10-2 and they don't get in.
Okay.
9-3 is going to be tough. So they got to win. You got to win four out of your last five. And I think this week, I wrote this down that we say it every single week. This might be the most important game in Vanderbilt history. Like, it happens every week. It was Alabama. It was LSU. And I think if you keep winning, it's going to keep happening. If you beat Missouri this week, I actually don't know if Texas would be considered the biggest game in Vanderbilt history. Because, you know, Texas, I think, is the game you're looking at of, like, we win, great. We could go lock up a playoff spot before going to Neyland. But you lose, you just got to beat the two winless teams in the SEC at home to get to Knoxville with a chance to go to the playoff. But I think this week, it is the new most important game in Vanderbilt history. Like, I think you pass LSU from last week. You win this game, Vandy's in a really, really good spot.
Yeah, I mean, the coach mentality. Just go 1-0 this week. Just go 1-0. Every week's 1-0. That's what you're aiming for. And for Vandy, I think that culture and mentality has changed under Clark Lea, who's done a really darn good job.
Yes. Clark Lea, Jerry Kill, that whole staff, Barton Simmons, the GM, the turnaround. Two calendar years ago, this team was in the midst of a 10-game losing streak, and now they are being talked about as a college football playoff team.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I just love how they have a really good run game. They compensate for their passing game. Well, seriously.
And it was nice to see after the Alabama took them out of that they went right back to it against LSU.
Yes.
And had a ton of success. And Diego Pavia made plays with his arm, made plays with his legs, but they did get back to their identity, control the football game, and you beat LSU. Again, a top 10 team in your place. You got to defend home turf again this week. 5364 asks, what if Vanderbilt's third loss was in the SEC championship game? Would that knock them out? That's DJ and Franklin. It's tough to imagine a 6-2 Vandy in the SEC getting to the SEC championship game. You would need like tiebreaker chaos to go Vandy's way to get you to Atlanta. But they have said, and the committee did back this up last year, that they are not going to let playing in the conference championship knock you out. Like SMU last year.
Right.
They lost to Clemson in the ACC championship game. And if you're looking at resumes, did SMU really deserve to get in? Probably not. But the idea of this team played in the conference championship game and this team didn't, and we're going to reward the team that sat at home instead of the team that played the game, it doesn't make sense. So I don't think you're going to see, if there is a 10-2 SEC team that loses in the SEC championship game, I don't think that's going to knock them below the rest of the pack. unless they get boat raced.
Yeah, I'm like, going to say that there's a good chance that committee, you know, they say one thing and another thing happens.
Right.
Like I'm totally in the camp of that.
Let's say it's a 10-2 Texas A&M plays Alabama and A&M loses by 40. Then maybe you start having that conversation. But if it's within 10 points, you can't punish the team that played the game just because they played the game.
Yeah.
Like, all those other teams would love to be in the SEC championship game. You can't punish the team that got there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to take a look at some of the ESPN percentage chances for these teams. With Vanderbilt and Tennessee, it's intriguing. And I don't like the FPI that they have, the Football Power Index. I think it's a little bit just random numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, do you watch NFL game day morning sometimes on NFL Network with Cynthia Freeland? My model tells me that Ja'Marr Chase is going to have 7 catches for 86 yards and a touchdown. It's like, it's just random numbers.
Yeah.
But they do have it broken down in terms of chance to win out, chance to make the college football playoff. And I think those numbers, when paired together, tell you a lot about what these teams need to do to make the college football playoff. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Paul Feinbaum and Heather Dinitz yesterday on ESPN. Fine or not fine on Vanderbilt's playoff chances. Both of them say fine, but Paul Feinbaum, to hear him say Vanderbilt is going to the playoff after, in the SEC Any Given Saturday documentary, talking about how Vanderbilt was the doormat of the SEC. If he's come around on Vanderbilt, I think that's how you know that this program is in a good spot with 5 weeks left to go in the season. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt now 6-1, game day coming to town this week with 15th-ranked Missouri in Nashville on Saturday. So ESPN's FPI, which again I think is it's a random metric. I don't know. There's a formula that goes into it, but you can't just take those numbers for granted. You know, something's going to happen if it's going to happen. But right now, Vanderbilt has a 35% chance to make the playoff, according to ESPN's FPI. Heather Dinitz just put out an article of college football playoff bubble watch on ESPN and says if Vandy beats Mizzou, its chances of reaching the college football playoff would climb to 49%. And that is in a vacuum, by the way. That's not with any other results from the weekend. So likely would climb to 50%. Or higher if Vandy was able to win this weekend, but a loss would drop them to 14%. If the playoffs were held today, Heather Dinitz has Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, and A&M in Vanderbilt right on the bubble. So I did look at the FPI, and again, I mentioned that you can't just take those random percentage numbers and say, oh, well, that's exactly what the chances are, but they also have a percentage chance to win out number on there. And I think the difference between those two numbers is interesting for Vanderbilt and for Tennessee. For Vandy, again, 35% chance to make the playoff, but it says only a 4% chance to win out. So that tells you that there's a good chance, even if Vandy was to go 4-1 down the stretch, they'd still have a very good shot to make the college football playoff.
Yeah, and I think that's the logical, you know, that's the logical race for them to do is go 4-1 or whatever that may be. I don't think they can go undefeated the rest of the way out. I mean, they do have a tough schedule. I'm intrigued to hear Heather Dinitz just say a little pushback for that Vandy team, because that I get that they've gone up against teams with losing records, but to me, LSU, they just don't have it. They don't have it this year. So the fact that she's given a little pushback on that and she has them as a bubble team at 13, I don't know. That makes me think the national perspective is still out on Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think there's always going to be people who are wait and see on Vandy. And I think if Vandy had the resume that they do and had a different logo on the side of their helmet, maybe they're the 7th ranked team in the country instead of 10th.
Yeah.
But they still have to prove it, because there is a brand bias across college football. And I heard Joe Rexroad say on Robbie and Rexroad this morning that there was a question of, would Vandy be left out because of that brand bias if they were on the bubble? And I actually agree with Joe that I think it would be the opposite. I think that, you know, the College Football Playoff Committee, they're supposed to go by the numbers and which teams are the most deserving to get in. But I think they're all human, and I think the story of Vanderbilt making the playoffs after everything that Vanderbilt football has gone through, that's intriguing. And in the end, this is a made-for-TV product, and having Vanderbilt in the playoff is a good story to sell for TV. So, again, it's supposed to be about who the best team is, but I don't think if it's 50-50 on the bubble with them and someone else, I don't think being Vanderbilt is going to hurt them. I actually think it might help.
Interesting. I'm still in the camp that it kind of hurts them a little bit because everybody else has built such a prowess of a name for themselves. Like, if I don't know, let's go with Texas Tech. They only have one loss in the season. Big 12, they go win the Big 12 the rest of the way out. I think they would probably be in over Vanderbilt if they were a bubble team.
Well, you're saying if they're conference champion or if they're like maybe lose the conference championship?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Lose the conference championship and win out the rest of the schedule.
So I guess that's a good question is like, let's say it's an 11-1 Texas Tech team who, again, Big 12 schedule, SEC schedule versus a 10-2 Vanderbilt. Who would get in that scenario? That's a good question.
Because we go back to the point of, well, the committee's not putting conference championship games into all this. And that means they'd have two losses because they lost to Arizona State previously.
Yeah.
What do you equate there? Because Texas Tech's blowing teams, they're blowing teams out by 50 to 60 points in some cases.
And there's so much football left to be played. But I think it's fair to say that Vandy, I mean, they control their own destiny for sure.
Sure.
If they win out, Vandy is not only in the playoff, if Vandy wins out and you're 11-1, which again, the chances from ESPN is like 4% for them to win the rest of their games. But if they did that, not only are you in the playoff, I think there's a playoff game being held about 15 minutes down the road.
Could you imagine? That would be absolutely crazy. I mean, it'd have the Nashville fan base going crazy because they don't have a professional team going to the playoffs. So why not go for the college football playoff, you know? I mean, you got Tennessee up the street, but, I mean, that's neither here nor there. They have a, what, 17% chance of making the playoff right now?
Yeah, Tennessee, 17 to 18, somewhere in that range. Gotcha. But, and we'll talk about this on the other side, they have a 15% chance to win out. So, basically, the point I'm trying to make is 9-3 Tennessee does not get in. You got to pretty much win all the rest of your games. 2349 on the text line says, you say that, Jake, but another thing Rex Road said was about Indiana last year with the most losses ever and still put them in. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make here is that brand bias can go both ways, right? Like, yes, I think for the AP rankings, a lot of these reporters who put their votes in are going to lean to the helmets, the logos that they know more. Mm-hmm. A 6-1 Alabama is going to look better than a 6-1 Vanderbilt to somebody who doesn't watch those games religiously up in the Northwest or whatever. But for the college football playoff, I think the storyline of having a team like Indiana last year, who Indiana was 11-1, but they didn't really play anybody. They put them in, and it's a great story to have Indiana playing a playoff game at Notre Dame. Again, it's a made-for-TV product. I know it should be purely the numbers, but like, having a Vanderbilt playoff game is a great sell for TV. So I'm saying I don't think it hurts them if, like, I don't think brand bias is going to be the reason that Vandy gets left out.
Interesting.
This is why I need to be an AP voter, and I need to talk to Joe Rexroad or Corey Curtis or whoever to make this happen. Because I guarantee the AP is not watching Stanford and Florida State kick off at 9:30 at night the other night. I guarantee.
They didn't
watch Cal and North Carolina on Friday at 9:30 either. I know that for a fact.
But no, it is tough for these voters. I'm not trying to say that they're not doing their job. Yeah. Like, there's,
I'll do that for you. I'll say it for you.
But like, it's tough to watch every single game. And you're supposed to get a decent idea of what all these teams are doing, but somebody who covers Washington State who has a vote may not be able to watch every second of Alabama, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt, LSU. And you see Alabama 6-1, Vandy 6-1, and you're like, oh, well, Alabama. Sure, you're 5th, Vandy's 10th. And I mean, Alabama beat Vanderbilt. But like, just using those brands as examples, that I think some of these poll voters who don't watch every single game can get caught up in that, in the logo. The college football playoff committee, I mean, I think it's, you look at it and you say, hey, Vandy playing a playoff game would make some pretty good TV. I know that shouldn't be a part of it, but it is.
But still, yeah.
Justin says, Vanderbilt played Alabama tough. I know the end score doesn't say much, but they were on the doorstep of scoring twice and turned it over. If Pavia holds on to the ball, at the very least they get 6 points from it, that's a much different game. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one that Vandy looked back on and says, man, we were right there and kind of gave it away a couple of times. But they've played well enough in their other games to give themselves that leeway to have a game they don't play very well. And the way Alabama's playing, that's not a bad loss whatsoever.
Yeah, I think Pavia kind of got caught up in the moment a little bit. And because that Texas talking a great point about, you know, if it stays a one-possession game, that I think that looks better on the resume for sure.
Right. I mean, that late touchdown from Jam Miller, it's like, I understand 16 versus 9 doesn't change a lot, but from the perspective of maybe those voters who didn't watch the game, who just checked the score, 30-14 looks a lot different than 23-14.
And that's what scares me about the national perspective about Vanderbilt, is that you have those voters that just look at the box scores and they base their vote off that a little bit. I'm sure there are some out there, and that's what's a little concerning.
Josh on the text line says, Vandy is not getting in. The reason, exactly as you're talking, that they can't win out, they can't win playoff games. He says 11-1 won't get you in over good 10-2 teams.
That's ludicrous.
Wait, was his reasoning that they won't get in because they can't win a game?
He's
in the
basically
playoff?
Saying that if they don't win out, they can't win a playoff game. I don't understand that,
yeah,
Josh.
I don't get that either.
I appreciate you texting in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to send your thoughts, we appreciate our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll transition more over to the Vols side on the other side of the break. Tennessee, back against the wall. They've lost two games. But the schedule from here on out, not impossible for Tennessee to run the table and get back to the playoff for the second straight year. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday morning. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, joined by Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly on this Tuesday. Talking college football in this second hour of the show. We'll get into the Preds and Titans in the final hour of the program. Chasing Big Joe coming up at noon. We talked Vandy, and again, according to ESPN's FBI, 35% chance to make the college football playoff. Heather Dinich says that with a win over Missouri, that would go up towards 50%, but drop down to 14% if they were to lose, and likely, almost certainly would have to win out against Texas, Auburn, Kentucky, Tennessee to get in. For the Vols, they have an 18% chance to make the college football playoff as of now, but they have a 15% chance to win out. So using those numbers, it tells you that pretty much the only way Tennessee is going to get into the college football playoff is by running the table their last five games. Now, you look at their schedule, and it's doable, right? You've got Kentucky this week. Sorry, Connor. I know you're making your Kroger Field debut, but I think the Vols are going to crush Kentucky this week on the road.
Unless Kentucky decides to hold on majority possession like they did against Texas. That was crazy.
Well, the way I look at it is, like, Tennessee's coming off a tough loss on the road against Alabama. Kentucky, you almost got that big win, but you came up short. It just feels like the mental game is on the side of the Vols, and, of course, the physical game is also on the side of the Vols.
Get-right game.
Right. It's a get-right game for the Vols to get that win. You've also got New Mexico State on the schedule. Diego Pavia doesn't play for New Mexico State anymore, so that one feels like a gimme. The question is, can you sweep Oklahoma at Florida and Vanderbilt? Not going to be easy, but not impossible. Oklahoma has looked vulnerable. Texas got them at the Texas State Fair in the Cotton Bowl last week. Florida, that's the one that's interesting to me because we haven't seen the Josh Heupel random road loss yet this year. It almost happened at Mississippi State, and maybe that's the game, and they survived it this time. But Florida, a team that just fired their head coach, maybe they get that interim coach bump, which yep. I think is overplayed a little bit. But for some places, it does happen. That's the one that scares you a little bit because it's in the swamp, which is always going to be a tough place to play. And that's a Florida team that is still talented, even if they're not playing up to that level.
Yeah, I mentioned it to you just a bit ago that I feel like when you have that interim head coach jolt to your team, in college football, I feel like it hits a little bit more. And I'm not trying to play the SEC narrative there, but like I think it actually does play a little bit more of a factor than it does to the pros. I think DJ Lagway is a really good quarterback, and I think under Billy Napier, Napier was kind of hindering his play a little bit. I think some of the play calls were just not great. So I think under a different interim head coach, Lagway can kind of flourish a little bit more and opens up the opportunity to upset Tennessee.
The way I'm looking at it, there is a – it's getting more and more likely that that game in Neyland Stadium, November 29th, is going to be the one that decides it. Like, if you're looking at odds of what's going to happen, I think it's the most likely scenario for Vanderbilt is you probably go 3-1 over the next four games.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all winnable games. Probably don't win all of them. 3-1. That makes you 9-2 heading to Neyland Stadium this Saturday after Thanksgiving. For Tennessee, I look at those games and, you know, I think they can win all of them. Will they? Again, who knows? Oklahoma's good. Florida's a tough place to play, but you feel good about them getting wins against Kentucky, New Mexico State. I really think that collision course is just getting clearer and clearer. The path is getting wider for us to get 9-2 Vanderbilt, 9-2 Tennessee. Winner goes to the playoff. Loser goes to the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl, that's great. Looking at the Oklahoma-Tennessee game, Brent Venables, every single year they go up against Tennessee, like since Heupel's been there, it's always been a bloodbath. I feel like Venables' defense is really clicking this year to the fact that maybe they kind of give Tennessee a little bit of a hiccup, rough them up a little bit. Then when they go into the swamp, that's where we start seeing the trickle-down effect of this Vols roster kind of fall apart in a roundabout way. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, they've been a really good team under Joey Aguilar this year. Haven't seen much hiccups for the most part. I mean,
the offense is good. I mean, they had the bad mistake at the goal line, which, I mean, it can't happen.
Right.
The play call was questionable. The execution was questionable. But outside of that, the offense has shown that they can play with anybody.
Mm-hmm. I agree. No, absolutely. And the only issue I have with Oklahoma is Mateer. Like, has that hand really, healed up for the most part?
Yeah.
Because they said it was, 3 to 4 week process? He came back in, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was earlier than I think it was expected. Yeah. They wanted to get him back for Texas, and they lost that game. They got Ole Miss this weekend. That is a massive game. Possible elimination. I think there's still a path for both those teams, even if they lose. But, again, it narrows a lot with whoever loses that game. 6641 on the text line says, Jake, I love your show. I get to tune into it more than any other. But man, oh man, this Vandy and UT talk makes my Memphis Tigers ears bleed. Don't bring up the UAB loss, though. That'll hurt my heart too much. Yeah, tough. Because, I mean, great the game day is here. But if Memphis had won that game, I think there's a good chance game day would have gone to Memphis USF this week.
Yeah.
In the American. I'll be in Memphis on Sunday and Monday for the St. Jude Hoops for St. Jude Charity Classic, Vanderbilt Women's and the Memphis Women's. So if you got any recommendations while I'm out there in Memphis, let me know. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation on college football to end hour number two. Going to talk some Preds in the 11 o'clock hour, opening up a five-game homestand tonight against the Ducks. 2-2-2 through their first six games of the year. Is this an opportunity for the Preds to go on a little bit of a run over the next few weeks? And back into the Titans as well. Cam Ward struggling with the ball security. How can the Titans fix it moving forward? All that coming up throughout the remainder of the show. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Finishing up the second hour, talking college football. We had our texter say he wants some Memphis Tigers talk. I'll be in Memphis on Sunday. I'll be walking in Memphis with my 10 feet off of Beal.
Yeah, you will.
Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up. Big weekend of college football coming up, and we mentioned Tennessee looking for a get-right game against Kentucky. I feel confident about it. Again, our friend Connor Newt will be up there. And, I don't think it's going to go well, but who knows? Anything can happen. They did go to overtime with Texas last week. Vanderbilt hosting game day with Missouri coming to town. We were just talking about the guest picker. I'm still waiting to see when they announce where it's going to be. Because I know that was the question of the day yesterday on Chasing Big Joe. Lots of very funny, wrong answers. Yeah. But there's a lot of good options around Nashville. It's like a lot of the college towns you go to, there's an answer. Like there's one spot that you're going to go to. Here, do you do it on campus? Which I would lean yes. I think you want it to be Vanderbilt-centric, not Nashville-centric, right? Like, I get it when SEC Nation came for... It was Tennessee, Virginia over Labor Day weekend a couple years ago.
Yes.
They did it on Broadway. And obviously, like, the game's in Nashville. Has nothing to do with Vanderbilt. You do it on Broadway. This is Vanderbilt's game day. I think it should be on campus. Or at the very least, put it in Centennial right across from the stadium with the Parthenon in the background. I think it might be end up on Broadway.
Really?
Yeah.
I get it. Broadway's great and all, but come on.
I think they might do it like at the end of Broadway with the river in the background, and they can be like, oh, this is where the goalpost went with Alabama. They'll do the field goal kick right down Broadway with the honky-tonks on either side. Like, I hate it, but I just think that's where it's trending.
You may not be wrong, because when they went to Memphis, they did it on Beale Street. So,
yeah, and I guess it feels different because Nashville, like, Vandy is its own little pocket of Nashville.
Right.
And again, if you go to Broadway, it feels like it's more about Nashville than it is about what Vandy's doing right now. So if it was up to me, I'd put it on campus, get all the students out there. And I mean, just like they did in 2008 on campus, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. Do it on campus again. But if you had to ask me what I think is going to happen with McAfee there and all that, I think it's going to be on Broadway.
What if he jumped in the Cumberland? That'd be nuts. Kind of how he was over there with Tennessee, jumped off that little boat. I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, McAfee is going to do his show on Broadway on Friday. Because he always does it from the city. They're doing game day. He's not doing it on campus. He's going to be on Broadway somewhere. Maybe they'll set him up in Tootsie's and give him a little desk.
Chiefs.
Put him in Chiefs. Give him a desk. Don't give him a chair. And they'll do that. I think they're going to do it on Broadway. Again, this is no information about this. This is just my guess based on the way I think ESPN operates.
Right.
And you want the most people there as possible. And I think that's what it's going to end up. But I hope it's on campus. I really do.
I could see why you'd say Broadway, because we've had the draft here already. They understand, you know, the optics and how to set up their stuff on Broadway. It makes sense. But I'm with you. If it's college football, let it be a college atmosphere.
Right. It's not about honky-tonks and bachelorette parties, and it's about Vandy.
Hot chicken.
Right. It's about Vandy. And I think it should be on campus. I think it might be on Broadway. 6641 says there was no reason to do game day on Memphis's campus. Beale Street was the first and only choice for that. Campus isn't built in a way to support that type of event, which is fair. Like, it's to each their own. Some universities want it on campus. Some of them want it, you know, in a more public touristy place.
Sure.
But I think Vandy, I would assume, is pushing for it to be on campus, because again, Nashville gets a lot of attention for being Nashville, but it's like, I think Vandy is very different from the Broadway atmosphere.
I agree.
It would be tougher for students to get there. It's tougher for fans, because it's not like the game's at 6:30 at night, where you'd have, after game day ends, you got 7 hours to go back to West End and tailgate. Like, you pretty much would have to leave from the end of game day, head over, you got an hour to tailgate. The Ubers would probably be $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, I think it should be on campus. I think we'll find that out today, right?
Should.
Like,
either today or tomorrow.
It should be soon, because they got to start planning that. Dustin from Hopkinsville makes a good point of Nashville, the city, is a blessing and a curse. It gets the people here, but it gets the people here, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And you're right. Like, if it's on Broadway, it's a Saturday. The weather's still nice. It's going to be 90% tourists who are on coming from their hotels in SoBro and walking up and standing there instead of the student college atmosphere that you would have. This was not what this segment was meant to be, but we kind of found our way over here.
Yeah, like you mentioned McAfee doing his show on Broadway. I think ESPN's done a good job with kind of him being the opening act, I guess you could say, for the weekend. Have it be on Broadway. Have the main event be on a college campus.
I agree with that. Like, let McAfee do the Broadway thing, and he can do his full show from Broadway. You could even move him around. Have him in the street for a little bit of it. Put him on a rooftop.
A pedal tavern?
Have him do a full segment on a pedal tavern. Great. Give Pat McAfee the whole game day experience, the Broadway experience. But game day is, it's Vandy has played well enough that this show should be about Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. not about Lower Broadway. And
I think
the show would devolve into, look at Broadway, and, you know, we're in Nashville. Let's go into the bars. Like, it would devolve into that instead of, look at what Vanderbilt is doing, the fact that we are here after they went 2-10 2 years ago.
Look, if I want to enjoy a nice sporting event, if it's College Game Day or the McAfee Show or whatever it is, I don't want to go on Broadway, and no offense to people that are from the out-of-towners listening to this, you just smell sewage on the sidewalk all day. Like, it's gross. Like, can we do something for clean up our streets? I'm all right with that.
It's a good point.
Like, I don't want to smell rotten sewage. Like, I walked in this past weekend with some friends on Broadway. We went into, I think, Morgan Wallen's and then went to Chiefs and all that. I walk in and you go up the steps to go to, like, the ninth floor of,
yeah.
of the rooftop, and all I smell is sewage. Like, come on. What are we doing?
I think the happy medium, 1382 and Dustin from Hopkinsville suggesting it, Centennial Park. I think if that's where you probably have the space and the ability to set up everything, you're right across from campus, but you're not confined to a quad or something like that on Vanderbilt's campus. I think that may be the play.
It reminds me of Colorado last year. They were in that open field. I guess it was their quad or whatever it was. Open field in the background. People were able to come and go, whatever. Like that's what Vandy needs.
I agree. And we'll see. We'll find that out. Guest picker, we should find out Wednesday, Thursday. You're saying Bargatze too?
Yeah.
We talked about this yesterday. I think it's Bargatze. But
because they've already ran the well dry with Jelly Roll, Theo Vaughn. Who else is Vanderbilt oriented? I mean,
right. I mean, they love going to the comedians. Like, it's kind of like when in doubt for ESPN, go find a comedian with some loose tie to this school and they'll make it work. And I think Bargatze has more than a loose tie to Vanderbilt. He's a diehard Vanderbilt fan. So I think that'll be the pick. But again, as I said yesterday, Vandy Pimp from SEC Shorts wouldn't shock me.
Hilarious.
Would not shock me. And it's funny because they had nothing to do with Vanderbilt before the Alabama game. But he did the little, like, scepter dance. Yeah. And a year later, it's here we are. And then outside of that, Vandy baseball related would be my guess. I did see, and I don't think they'll do it, Michaela Blakes. I mean, again, unlikely, but that is SEC Freshman of the Year, All-American women's basketball player, won a gold medal this offseason, and was the MVP of the AmeriCup. Like, just putting it out there, if they wanted to go with a current Vanderbilt athlete.
Hey, you know, 2-time 50-point scorer.
I just
beat her own record.
Right. I mean, I just got to, like, soft plug there. Like, I think that would be awesome. But
it's honestly a respectable plug. It's not a soft plug. It's like it should happen.
I think Bargatze is the easy choice. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jeremy in Clarksville says, it would have been cool on Broadway 25 years ago. Broadway ain't Nashville anymore. It's a tourist trap. And it's fair. It's fair. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take a break. When we come back, the Predators starting a 5-game homestand tonight at Bridgestone Arena. 9 of their next 11 are in Nashville. An opportunity early on in the season. You've kind of treaded water through the first 6 games. You're 2-2-2. Can you get on track and make a run here with a ton of games in your home stadium coming up over the next few weeks? We'll talk about it next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.